This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. Sunday is to commemorate Christ's ascension, the closing of his resurrection appearance. And Dr. Wyatt shares that he spoke of the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Dennis. It is Mother's Day, and it is also the 80th year of the continuous radio ministry of the Wings of Healing. Amazing. 80 years begun by my grandfather back in 1942. But today I also want to look at what we call the ascension of the Lord. Sharon reads from the opening chapter of the book of Acts.
Jesus presented himself alive after his passion with many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while abiding with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was lifted, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While they were gazing into heaven, behold, two men stood by in white robes, saying, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you will come in the same way as you saw him go."
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. This that Sharon has read is an important narrative that our author Luke uses to move into his second volume of this History of Christian Origins, composed obviously in the first century for a certain man named Theophilus. This is what has been called from the second century as the Acts of the Apostles, and would come to provide the keystone early in Christian history, linking our four Gospels with what were called the Apostles, those letters of Paul, and later what were called the other apostolic men. And here, in what is now called the Ascension, is the coming to an end of the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, and the beginning of the ministry of the apostles, deacons, and evangelists, which has resulted in what we know as the Christian church. This event ends and begins with a scene we have trouble envisioning, but which impressed on those who witnessed it as the heavenly glorification of Jesus, now called the Christ. Here at this point in Luke's narrative, we learn that for a 40-day period, Jesus appeared periodically to the 12 and others in a way in which it left no doubt that he was really alive. What he said to these men, and yes, women, has given rise to various claims. Gnosticism that flourished for a few centuries believed Jesus shared certain esoteric ideas not found in our New Testament, ideas and teachings that only they knew and could interpret. Their strange, mysterious, and separatist teachings were fortunately defeated, and Gnosticism would disappear. But one can still find those that purport to have access to some secret teachings of Jesus, or of unveiling the supposed lost years of Jesus as being spent in India or Greece. And all of this is just as fallacious and destructive as ancient Gnosticism. Then there were early traditions that asserted that Jesus gave the apostles instructions on church order and discipline. But Luke, our author, tells us simply that Jesus continued to instruct his disciples on one all-inclusive subject, the kingdom of God. This is what our Gospels declare had drawn near with the public ministry of Jesus. This, the kingdom of God, was held and believed to be the rule or reign of God destined to be revealed on earth and in its fullness in the ministry of the coming Messiah. This reign was now revealed as fully present in the death and obvious resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection, you see, changed it all. He is the Messiah, the Christ. This is what Paul will firmly proclaim at the end of this book as those things pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke has related earlier in his gospel that it is thus written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The kingdom is this doctrine of Christ, the preaching of his gospel, which is also called the gospel of the kingdom. The idea that the kingdom being taught here by Jesus is some heightened existence in the spirit, a living in some realm that as Christians enables one to be at all times victorious and mightily blessed. This has become quite popular in some circles, but is basically a misapplication and an unbalanced interpretation of what is the kingdom of God. For the perfect manifestation of this divine kingdom is that which in apostolic preaching also included the judgment of this world with the parousia of the Christ, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord. And as I conclude every broadcast, God's will shall be done. His kingdom on earth will be as it is in heaven. We live in that tension between what is and what will be. That 40 days, those all too brief moments when he taught them, even ate with them, obviously not because he hungered, but to further show that he was real, no phantom, ghost, or hallucination. But these moments were about the reality of life as a believer, the truth that his death was necessary for redemption, the ransom of sinners, the truth that the resurrection opens a whole new vista of hope, the truth revealed that God's desire is for our salvation. This is and always has been the divine purpose, and the implementation, the realization of the means for all this to be proclaimed ultimately far beyond Jerusalem. But now they are not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for, as he calls it, the Father's promise, which you have heard me speak. For John indeed baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in just a few days. The Lord's words here fit so well, not so much with Luke's gospel, but John's gospel, where several narratives record Jesus' anticipation of the Spirit's coming. And now the time draws near for the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, of the widespread outpouring of the Spirit of God. However, despite what Jesus has been teaching his disciples these past days, still some have maintained their intense interest in the restoration of Israel's liberation and their establishment as a world power. As earlier, there were signs of ambition, even rivalry, to gain positions of authority in the kingdom. Now, as Jesus speaks of this coming gift of the Spirit, which is the sign of the new age, again the specter of nationalism and personal power raises its head. Jesus' answer does not take the form of a direct no, as F.F. Bruce so succinctly puts it. Instead, he would redirect their thoughts, if not their ambitions. What they are thinking of is in the Father's sole jurisdiction. Whatever God has in mind for the nation of Israel is not to be the concern of these men. That is in God's providence. A good lesson always. The kingdom of God is what these men, and I might add our calling, is to be, to proclaim the good news of God's grace in Christ Jesus. Instead of ambition for political power, believers are now to receive a far greater and nobler power. The Holy Spirit will bring heavenly power. Their witness, preaching, all these efforts are to be made more effective. As Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit at his baptism, so too are those who follow him to be as well anointed. This is the theme of this book of Acts. What Israel had not fulfilled, Jesus will now begin to fulfill in these men and women by the Spirit of God. As heralds of God's promise, they are to be the light to the Gentiles and a glory to Israel, bearing the message from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This, too, is the theme of this book, not of apostolic succession, but a succession of witness to the kingdom of God, even to Rome, and yet even to the end of the earth. Now one chapter in Christianity begins to close as the next begins. The resurrection appearances of Jesus that we have before us are surely not exhaustive, but they are all Jesus accommodating himself to the limitations of those to whom he appeared, even going so far as to eat with them. These were visits by Jesus from that eternal abode, a place from which his body of glory truly belonged. Now these visits, as the disciples experienced them, end. And the disciples are to be impressed, to experience in a measure the glory that is now Jesus Christ. What John will later experience as he is called to look and see the visions that make up the book of Revelation. Here a cloud received him out of their sight, which recalls the gospel narrative of the transfiguration, when a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, the Chosen, listen to him." This should as well remind us of the Lord's words of his parousia, as coming in clouds with great power and glory, and coming with the clouds of heaven. Clouds are the manifestation of the Lord's glory, of transfiguration, of now the ascension and his parousia. The clouds in each are reminiscent of the Shekinah glory that rested upon the Mosaic tabernacle and then would fill all of Solomon's temple. In all, these are the evidence, the expression of the very presence of God. Here at this moment, those who stand looking, what we in our poor language term a theophany, as Jesus is enveloped in a cloud, the very presence of God. Thus, we should not be trapped in the later depictions of this ascension event, as it is in the adoring and venerable art that fills the churches and museums of Europe, of Jesus slowly being lifted up. What has happened is that he has left this earthly abode. Some, perhaps, as was the case on the Mount of Transfiguration, expected the cloud to dissipate and leave Jesus with them once again. But instead they become aware of two white-robed men standing by. As there are two, it is again the biblical standard for witness. Two are required for credible witness-bearing. Two such bore witness to the Lord's resurrection, and now they bear witness to his return in like manner. In the glory of God, as here in the very presence of God, Jesus will return. You need not stand gazing into the sky. The disciples had witnessed Jesus in power and glory, and in such power and glory, he will return. This, too, is our faith, but it will not occur as soon as many had hoped. They would in their efforts hope for the culmination of history, but as Peter so correctly penned it, he is not slow concerning his promise, but long-suffering, not wishing that any should perish. Christ is with the Father, gone from our presence, but not fully. His abiding presence and empowerment filled the rest of this book of Acts, and this has yet to end, for he really does not wish any to perish. He is exalted at the very right hand of God. As Paul will state it for the Ephesians, He has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Yet he is present with his Comforter, the Advocate, as the Spirit's presence is to be ours, abiding in and through us, empowering each as God has gifted each of us, all for the work of the ministry. It was to begin in Jerusalem, where Jesus was ultimately rejected. Where else could the new witness to Jesus begin? Jesus has been raised, and now God is to complete his purpose, his kingdom. They and many of us may have wished a speedy and overpowering finish to humanity's degradation and rejection of God's word and his offer of salvation. But in the resurrection and the promise of the Spirit, the Jewish hopes, mankind's hopes, have been transformed. It is not about nations, political agendas, even social reformation. Baptism is widened. Water is but a meager beginning, an immersion totally inadequate to do justice to the overwhelming presence of what is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is power, insight, joy, guidance, comfort, and enablement. No one symbol can do justice to what is to be the Christian reception of the Spirit. What was promised to them has, as we continue in this book, is present for us all. It will be witnessed on Pentecost, but also on other occasions, and still is so witnessed that it is buried by some in a veneer of ritual, of some robed individual laying hands on seekers. Such forms are unfortunate and just a veneer, a camouflage. The Spirit waits eagerly for us to take hold of his promise. Why gaze we up into heaven, waiting or wishing? Why go through empty motions? Please don't dawdle over some belief in his return, when we must understand he wants no one to perish. He would enable you and I to bring his Spirit to bear, that even more would come to know him. The idea is, as Charles Spurgeon's put it, O Lord, elect more. Oh, that more would be those of God's elect, more whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For how can we not, as he, speak of the kingdom of God and wish that all the more would be part of his kingdom? O my Lord, do make your presence known to us by your abiding and comforting Spirit. May it empower us in your will to see souls saved, lives changed, men and women made whole, all by the work of your Spirit in and through us, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. All for your glory and praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
On this Mother's Day, we extend our very best to every one of you, dear ladies, and to mention as well that this is the anniversary of this radio ministry. Once again, may you be blessed on this day set aside to honor and pamper all of you special mothers out there. This is all about the God we serve, and that his presence is always to be there with us and for us, and will come again with power and glory. To provide more insight into this reality, Dr. Wyatt is offering his study titled, Who is God? This is a biblical look at what we can know and understand of the God we serve and worship. If you are seeking some answers, do write and ask for the book, Who is God? It is yours at no charge. We also want to thank those of you who are keeping this ministry in your prayers and for your often wonderful generosity toward this ministry. We do depend on your graciousness that we might be able to get the Word of God out to a world that so needs to hear it. So please consider being a part of this outreach. By supporting the Wings of Healing, a gift large or small is always a blessing. It does make it possible for us to share the truth of the resurrection across this land and far beyond. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the web at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. We have said this is Mother's Day, and what better way to celebrate that fact and the anniversary than with this praise report from Christy of Manitoba, who thanks us for our prayers and asks that we keep it up, as she says. I am so grateful every day for God touching my life, increasing my strength, bringing new health and healing to this body of mine. God be praised, Christy, and I do hope you will write. Dennis will give our addresses once more. But now let us close with a favorite, Hallelujah, Our God Reigns, by Brett Younger. And until next week, praise our Lord, He does reign.
Behold the mighty breath of God, the calm the seas and hum the stars. That very breath inside our heart, behold our God. He is the anthem of our praise. We were born to bless His name. All the earth and angels sing, behold our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and for this Ascension Sunday, Dr. Wyatt is offering to all those who will write a copy of his book, Who is God? This study provides the biblical insight and revelation of the God we serve and love. It will give those seeking the truth the solid biblical grounding. Just write and ask for Who is God? It is yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.